This episode is sponsored by Law Tigers San Diego. If you or a loved one is injured in a motorcycle accident, call 1-800-LAW-TIGERS for a free case evaluation. Hello and welcome to The Scenic Ride. My name is Sana, and this is a podcast where we explore some of the most epic motorcycle rides in North America and beyond. A little later, I'll be chatting with Davin from Biltwell about some great riding, and we also share our real opinions on some popular places and events. It might be our most controversial episode yet, so stay tuned for the interview. But first, we are headed to South Dakota, and more specifically, to the Black Hills. This area is located in the southwestern part of the state, right up against the border with Wyoming. It's also home to the Sturgis Rally, which I'm sure you're all very familiar with since it's one of the biggest motorcycle events in the world. And if you've ever been to Sturgis, you definitely know the road we're talking about today. Needles Highway is a bucket list motorcycle ride that goes through Custer State Park in the Black Hills. The highway is only about 14 miles long, but it has everything. Switchbacks, tight turns, tunnels, bridges, wildlife, forests, lakes, meadows, and absolutely amazing views of these towering granite pinnacles that the road is named for. Needles Highway is also part of the Peter Norbeck National Scenic Byway that makes a big loop through the Black Hills. You can take it from Mount Rushmore down Iron Mountain Road, through Custer State Park, and up Needles Highway. And if you only have time to do one ride in Sturgis, I would highly recommend this loop. It's about 70 miles total, but I would plan for it to take several hours since there's a lot of hairpin turns and slow-moving vehicles, and you also probably want to stop to enjoy the views. But back to Needles Highway. I've ridden it both during the rally and not during the rally, and those are two completely different experiences. I'll talk more about this with Davin in a little bit, but let's just say that if you're looking to go fast, this is probably not the road for you. During the rally, it's packed with motorcycles, and off-rally, it's packed with wildlife like bison and elk. The road also closes in the winter, but it's usually open from April to about mid-October. I rode it at the end of September last year, and it was a great time for it, weather-wise. Another thing to note is that since you're riding through Custer State Park, you'll need to pay an entrance fee of $20 per vehicle, but that gives you access to the entire park, so I'd say it's well worth it. This park covers 71,000 acres in the Black Hills, and it's known especially for all the free-roaming bison. It's also got a lot of scenic riding, and you can do other things too, like hiking and fishing and rock climbing. Just south of Custer is Wind Cave National Park, so if you're like me and you're trying to check off all the national parks from your list, don't miss this one. If you're short on time, you can even skip the actual cave and just ride through the park. There's no entrance fee, and you're almost guaranteed some bison sightings. On my last trip, I came from the south, so I started in Wind Cave and then made my way up north to ride Needles Highway, and it's a super fun and scenic ride the whole way. Probably the most famous part of Needles Highway is a tunnel called the Needles Eye. It's very narrow, only a little over 8 feet wide, so I'd imagine it's pretty sketchy in a car, but on a motorcycle, it's super cool. The tunnel is surrounded by the Needles Rock formations, and if you manage to go through when it's not completely packed with people, it's a really great photo op as well. Okay, I'm going to keep this intro short and sweet. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our guest. Okay, I am here with Davin, who is also known as Moto Gluten. If you're in the motorcycle industry, you probably already know him, but I will let you introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Davin. I am the vice president of sales at Biltwell Incorporated at this point. I've been in the industry for about 20 years, and I've been riding since I was 16. So that's about 27 years, I guess. But yeah, I've been around. I do some stuff. I ride around. I look at things. I eat stuff. And yeah, that's about it, really.
That's what we do. Well, thanks for joining me. Thanks for having me. Yeah. You obviously write a lot, and I feel like you've been everywhere pretty much. I originally wanted to have you on to talk about the Tale of the Dragon, but you said no. Can you tell me why?
I just think it's so overrated, and man, I don't know. There's so many other places in the country to ride that are way more fun, way more exciting, less people, you know, less hoopla. I think the Tale of the Dragon is just like a, you know, for people that don't want to do any research and just leave their house and go somewhere. And they're like, yeah, rode the tail, brother, or whatever. And it's just like, I've done it because I used to live on the East Coast and it was easier to hit. But I don't want to do everything, all the same stuff that everyone else does. So I'm just a contrarian, I guess. But I think it's just overrated.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it, because it would be a fun controversial episode. But let's not talk about that.
Okay.
let's head to the Black Hills, which so we're talking about Needles Highway today. And I think that's almost like the opposite of the Tale of the Dragon, even though it is one of those really popular roads that everyone want to ride. But Tale of the Dragon is just go fast, don't look at the scenery. Just, you know, get it over with, kind of. And I feel like Needles Highway is almost the opposite of that, because it's also really twisty, but it's beautiful and you can't go fast on it.
Exactly. And I agree with that. Like, there's a sign at the beginning of it too that says like 314 curves and two snaky tails and all this stuff. And it's the same thing on paper, but I love riding places where you come around a corner and there's just like some weird thing, you know. There's more than birch trees, which is the best part of riding, I think.
Yes, I agree. I think there are also two versions of Needles Highway. One is during the Sturgis rally, and one is not during the rally. Would you agree that those are completely different experiences?
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to work at a company that did like heated riding gear and plugs and sockets and stuff for bikes. And we would set up there every year and sell at Black Hills Harley. And we would go out for 3 weeks, and we'd either go out a week early and ride for a week and then spend 2 weeks in hell, or the opposite. So we'd always get a little bit of riding in. But I've since gone back a few times when it wasn't rally at all. And it's just like the most incredible thing. I mean, that whole area is just amazing, and there's so much good riding. Needles, especially, you do like the Needles Iron Mountain Road Loop. And add a little Custer State Park in the middle, and it's like absolutely insane. The wildlife, the views, the surfaces of the road are good.
Yeah, I think the wildlife is a really good point, too. It's one of the reasons why you can't go super fast on it. I mean, there are many reasons. One is all the traffic, especially during the rally. But, you know, I was riding the road last fall, not during the rally, and I was stuck behind some slow cars for so long. And then when I finally got around them and it was just open road, I was just coming around the corner so fast. And right as I came around it, there was a deer just standing in the middle of the road.
Uh-huh.
And we both looked at each other like, oh shit. Luckily, the deer went one way and I went the other, and I just like narrowly missed it. But there's deer, there's bison, there's so much just like wildlife that you have to look out for.
Yeah, I had the same experience with a mountain goat in Spearfish Canyon the first time I went there. And I had never seen a mountain goat in my life. And I was almost wearing one. So I always look for them now when I go back there, and I haven't seen one since.
Yes. Oh, another thing that happened too, when I was there this fall, it was in September. So I was so stoked to go all the way back to South Dakota and ride this road, not during the rally. And of course, I timed it so it was happening right during the Buffalo Roundup in Custer State Park, which is maybe the second largest event in that area. So still a lot of traffic, just cars instead of motorcycle.
Yeah, short bus campers.
Yeah, a lot of that. So you mentioned Iron Mountain Road too. That's another one that people should check out. Do you have any advice for riding that one?
Yeah, go when there's nothing else going on so you can actually enjoy it. That's the biggest thing for anywhere in this area is like, you know, all summer there's going to be bikes and cars and campers and stuff because people are finding out it is one of the most beautiful places in the area. But usually you can, you know, people are nice enough to pull over and, you know, watch you, let you pass and stuff. But Iron Mountain Road has a couple of those little like offshoots where you can skip a little section and fly past a bunch of campers if you need to. So that's why I like that one. You can, you know, you'll miss a corner or two, but you can kind of do a little and pass a few people. So those are nice.
Yeah, it's a little hard on those roads otherwise because they're so twisty. There's so many switchbacks and it's all like 25 mile an hour posted speed limits everywhere.
Yeah, and give yourself some time too. That way you can pull over and let the slow people go and you can just enjoy it. Because most of the time it's not as bad as, you know, Rally or the Bison Roundup. So make good choices.
Yeah, I have not made good choices there, but next time I will. Right. So you go to Sturgis for work pretty much every year, right?
I used to. I haven't been there since 2016 or 17, I think was the last year I went to actually work. But the last, let's see, last year and 2021, I went out there for the ADV Fest. So 2021, I rode out there with a buddy from Portland and we kind of did probably the gnarliest way there we could find. Just found a bunch of green trails on Onyx Off-Road and some other stuff that I knew about and I almost lost my buddy a few times. Yeah, we did that. And then last year, 2023, yes, we went last year and it was when it was 120 degrees and I was supposed to ride out there and I'm like, screw that. And we just threw some bikes in the back of a truck and went out because we weren't about to be that miserable.
You know, I feel like that's a good event. If you're going to trailer bikes out, there's no shame in it at the Sturgis Rally because so many people do it. So that seems fine.
Yeah, we did the ADV Rally last year too. And that was, you know, we saved our buns on the ride there and just rode a bunch while we were there. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, so the ADV Rally obviously is focused on off-road riding. I have not done any of that in the Black Hills area. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's actually is it called the Black Hills Adventure Loop? It's a lot of the new BDRX route that they made last year is based on this guy's dual sport loop. Some old man, he made this crazy fun loop quite a few years ago, and they got him involved into this little BDRX. And for those who don't know, a BDRX is like a little offshoot of a BDR. And those who don't know what a BDR is, it's a backcountry discovery route. So you can basically go from the top of one state to another by taking B roads and unpaved roads. But I started riding off road in Sturgis back before I had adventure bikes. I have pictures of myself riding a speed triple covered in mud. So that's another thing is like, if you are there during a rally, there's a lot of shortcuts you can take on gravel roads because, you know, the brothers won't ride their bikes down there. So, man, there's like trails between Sturgis, Nemo, Rapid City. There's just as many off-road riding tracks as there is on-road, and they're just as good. You know, it's nothing gnarly. It's mostly just two track or, you know, 4x4 roads, but there is a lot of side by sides out there now. So you got to watch out to not get hit by one of those things because, you know, they're everywhere. But, yeah, I've ridden out there a few times off road and it's just as magical because you get to see everything, you know, from a different side. And, it's quite beautiful. All the rock formations and I think it's limestone out there, all those big, like limestone cliffs. When you get down to Nemo at the little general store that I'm sure most people have been to. If you look like in the back of the campground, there's a huge cliff back there and you can actually ride up to the top of that and look down. So I've got a picture of, you know, we're going to go up there and then that's where we were. And that one's probably one of the gnarlier ones because it's a little bit like a big chute. But we all rode gigantic adventure bikes up there last year and we all made it.
Yeah, I know you're a very skilled off-road rider on big bikes, so I wouldn't I probably wouldn't attempt a lot of the stuff, but I do feel like there's a lot of big bike friendly trails
absolutely
for riders who aren't as skilled as well.
Yeah, no, there's some that are just, you know, completely flat, and you know, just added a little bit of excitement because they're, you're not sitting behind traffic, and you know, there's plenty of trails to ride out there that are, you know, beginner friendly all the way up to expert and intermediate.
That's great. Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe riding my Pan America out there this summer because Babes Ride Out is doing a Deadwood event this year. Mm-hmm. And if I end up doing that, then I'll be on a bike that is fully capable of doing off-roading, and I'll probably go check out some of those routes. It's a good way to get away from the traffic too.
Yeah, you should let me know if you do it, because I've got some tracks saved up. And then my buddy Patrick, he actually lives out there and works for JMP Cycles, and he knows every trail and every nook and cranny in every town in that place. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, that's great. I actually stopped at JMP Cycles when I was out there this fall because I needed to do chain maintenance, and it was the only place open in town. And they, you know, it was not during the rally, so it was completely dead. Like the whole town is just, it's so sleepy. Yeah. And then it just comes to life for a few weeks out of the air.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good when you're like a month on each side of it, because then you still get a little bit of the, you know, the excitement leading up, or, you know, after, and you get to see all the dumb banners and stuff, but you don't have to deal with all the idiots.
Yeah, no, that's nice. You call them brothers. I would call a lot of them just like bagger daddies, just like a lot of baggers. And that's, I think that's what makes it so hard to do some of these, like really enjoy some of the twisty roads, because a lot of these baggers are so low to the ground that you can't even take the curves really properly, like by leaning over, because you'll scrape your bags doing it. So people are just, instead of counter steering, they're just steering around the corners, and it's just, it's not a very fast way of riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, it can get maddening.
But it's an experience too, you know. That's absolutely just, that's something you kind of have to experience as a motorcyclist.
I agree. I think everyone that rides and cares about motorcycles and riding should go to Sturgis and Daytona at least once, because they're both crazy and they're on complete opposite sides of the wild and crazy spectrum too, I think.
Yeah, I have yet to do a Daytona, but maybe one day.
It's a special kind of gross.
Yeah. All right, so if we talk about the kind of greater area, not just the Black Hills, but a little bit outside of that area too, there's also Badlands National Park, which I have to throw some national park content in because that's kind of my thing at this point.
Yep.
So have you ridden out there?
I've just done like a small little bit of it. We did like a little loop one time, but I have not spent as much time as I want to out there.
Yeah, so Badlands, for those who don't know, is about 60 miles east of, I guess, the Black Hills. So it is, you can do it as a quick little day trip, and the freeway speed limit out there is 80. So if you have a, when I was out there and did that, I was actually on, I was on a loner Indian that had a top speed of about 80. So freeway was a little sketchy on that. I just could not even keep up with the speed limit really comfortably, but for just the twisties and the mountain roads, it was perfect for that. But Badlands is really beautiful. It's great riding, lots of wildlife too. And then there's Wind Cave National Park, which kind of bookends a lot of the riding we've already talked about. So Needles Highway, Custer State Park, and that whole loop that includes Iron Mountain Road. If you start from the south, you'll basically be starting in Wind Cave National Park.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say that's a great park for riding because it's a cave park. And so the whole thing you go there for is basically to go down into a cave. But the surface areas of the park have a lot of the same, you know, scenery as the surrounding area. So a lot of bison roaming around and a lot of wildlife there too. So it is cool. It's worth a visit too.
Yeah. What are your feelings on Mount Rushmore?
I think that maybe these white guys shouldn't be on this mountain.
The first time I saw it, I was so underwhelmed. Like, I thought it was going to be three times the size. And I saw it, I'm like, Okay. And then that was like, I was just so bummed that it was so small. Like, it's cool from the, I think it's one side of Iron Mountain Road where you can see George from that little slot. And that's kind of neat. Like, you can get a good photo there. But then when you're just up front and you see all four of these dudes hanging out, it's a little underwhelming. So.
Yeah, if you're going to completely ruin like an indigenous sacred site, I think maybe do something a little bit
Yeah.
cooler with it. I don't know. It's going to be controversial, but that's.
Yeah, well, maybe the other sculpture will be done soon and we can look at that instead.
Yeah, so Crazy Horse is just down the road, and I think that will be a much better experience.
Yeah,
Sh
that
sure, it'll be
one.
done any day
Yeah, right.
now.
We're getting there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that whole loop there that you can, kind of come out of Keystone or whatever anyway, actually, and do Iron Mountain, Needles, Custer State Park. And back up the whatever 3-digit number is, and that whole loop is pretty much like all the best stuff. And then there's a few like I don't know. Have you done Vanok or Canyon out of Sturgis?
I don't think so.
Okay, that one's if you want to go fast when nobody's there, like that one isn't as scenic. There's a few long views with some cliffy things, but that one is like if you want to go as fast as you possibly can, as fast as you're comfortable with, you can shoot south out of Sturgis and do that one. And it's just more like long, sweepy corners and very little traffic,
Oh, that sounds
especially
amazing.
off rally. And then Spearfish Canyon is that kind of with a little bit more stuff to look at, like the mountain goats and all that stuff. And there's a little bit more. I think I've seen bobcats and stuff out there too. But that's a neat one because apparently the original OG mama goat from that's in the little. Spearfish Canyon walked there from Custer like 20 years ago. She
Okay.
they had a tracker on her and she did the 60-mile walk. And then the next summer, a boy showed up and they made a bunch of babies. So now they're trying to like introduce more into the area because they're like now they're getting all inbred. So they're trying,
Right, they're all related to each other.
yeah. So they're trying to do a little bit more. But those were, I always bring that up because those things were so cool to see. Because I'd come from a place where we only had deer and bear and that kind of stuff. And to see some crazy goat climbing up the side of a mountain was pretty intense.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Michigan.
Okay.
UP.
Oh, UP. We should talk about that at some point too, but I'll probably spend a lot of time there this summer actually, because my work is doing some projects in the UP. So I have been up there and writing too, and it is really beautiful. So I'm
Yeah.
excited to go back.
I'm gonna head out there a week from Saturday. I'm gonna ride out, visit my parents for a few days, and then leave my bike in Minneapolis and go back out a month or two later and do like a 3,000 for 3 or 4,000 mile loop into Canada. I want to go look at Banff and Jasper again.
Right. Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this when I saw you at the Biltwell 100. Yeah, tell me more about that trip. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's I'm gonna take off on the 4th, May 4th. I'm gonna call the trip there work. So I'm gonna stop and visit some dealers in Phoenix and Albuquerque, and then we've got some shops in Kansas that are worth, riding through Kansas. So I'm gonna go check them out, and then kind of just beeline up through Iowa and Wisconsin, and then up to the UP to see my parents. They'll stay there for 3, 4 days, and then I've got a flight out of Minneapolis on the 17th. So I'll park my bike at a friend's house and just leave it there for. I'll probably go back in August, just when it really sucks to be in Temecula, and then spend 2 or 3 weeks on vacation doing. I might cruise through Sturgis for a night or two, just because it'll be going on. If I leave, if I fly back on the 3rd or 4th, I think I was looking at, rally will be happening, and I can go and just check that out, say hi to some people, and then. Blast up through Alberta. And there's a Trans-Canadian Adventure Trail. So I've got some of those tracks saved. And I'm going to try to do some off-roady stuff between like Winnipeg and Edmonton. And then go through Edmonton and then up to Jasper. Then come down Icefields Parkway to Banff. And then spend a couple 3 days in that southeast corner of BC because there's that. I think it's called the Selkirk Loop that actually goes from Idaho up into BC and then down to Montana. Check out some of that stuff. There's a bunch of lakes with little ferries. You can go from town to town and just apparently it's supposed to be really good for motorcycles, and I've only spent a day or two there in the past. And then I've got some buddies in Whitefish, Montana, so cruise down through there, and then just figure it out from there, you know, hit all the good stuff in Utah, and probably just beeline it back after that, you know. So I'm going to make and save enough time so I can actually, you know, enjoy it and look at things and maybe go somewhere I've never been.
Yeah, there's still places to go, huh?
There it is. Yeah, there's a few left. So I need to scratch a few things off my list because there's some like really obvious ones like Joshua Tree that I've never been to.
You've never been to Joshua Tree and you live in Temecula.
Right.
That's insane.
I've never gone through the park. So
I go through the park at least once or twice a year, and I have been for the last 10 years, I would say.
I need to do that. That's on my list for this summer. So I was just in Joshua Tree like 3 weeks ago and didn't bother. So
I was there 2 weeks ago and I did bother, even though I've been there so many times. I just can't not go through the park. It really is beautiful and serene, and it's one of my favorite parks.
I'll check it out. I'm supposed to go up there this weekend for the Ether Rally in Pioneer Town. Right. To check it out. I've got some friends, my buddy Justin, who does the Pan America truck, will be up there, and a few other folks that I've been talking to work-wise. So I'm going to go and check out what that whole thing has to offer, and then maybe I'll go to Joshua Tree.
I recommend it. But that sounds like a really, really epic trip this summer. I'm so jealous. I need to go back to Banff, too. I haven't been there since 2018, and it was just so beautiful. Such a gorgeous ride. But we did... we rode up to Banff from San Diego and back in 2 weeks. So we just like kind of jammed through a lot of that. We did like 4,300 miles, I think, in 14 days. So it was a lot of riding and not that much exploring.
I did the same thing. I think it was 2019, though. And I was in Portland at the time, so it wasn't as far. So I wasn't even good. Didn't have any plans to go to Canada, but I brought my passport just in case. And I like hooked a left out of Glacier and went to Banff. It was like Glacier was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen for a day.
Yeah.
Banff and Jasper. And then I got home from that trip and I was home for 2 days, and I flew to Alaska, rented a bike in Anchorage, did like the Best of Alaska loop for a week.
Man, your life really sucks, huh?
It's hard, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We got a little detour there. That happens when you talk to people who like to go on long motorcycle rides.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just circle back to the Black Hills real quick, do you have any good recommendations for where to eat or stay or drink or anything else in the area?
There's a few places. There's a one in Hill City called the Alpine Inn, I believe it's called, and that place is like magical. They have delicious foods, you know. They have like a bunch of weird I don't know if it's weird, but just, you know, it's something you wouldn't expect in South Dakota. It's a really good restaurant. They have like schnitzels and all that kind of stuff in there, and just a bunch of alpine food, I guess. Their desserts are amazing. They had gluten-free options for me, which was great. And there was another place we went to last year in Spearfish that was really good. And I don't even remember what it was called, but it was me, Patrick, and Otto, and we all loved it. But.
Well, if you think of it, I'll put it on in the show notes. So
perfect. And then there's a bunch of really bad places, too. One that I don't like is the Deadwood Social Club. Apparently Kevin Costner owns that one, and I've been there a handful of times, and every time I go there it's not great.
So. I feel like a lot of people probably go to Deadwood for the vibes more than necessarily the quality of like the food. At least that's been my experience. But if Kevin Costner owns it, then that's almost worth a visit just for that.
Yeah, I felt like it'd be better, but it ended up just being like casino food, for lack of better words. It's not ideal. I mean, there's a really good coffee shop there at the end of town that has a bunch of cool little trinkets in it. And there's a few good, like the Broken Spoke has really good breakfast in Sturgis. They have like jalapeno bacon, which was incredible for those of us who like to eat that kind of stuff. Man, we went there like 3 days in a row last time we were there, just because it was so good, and we bought the place out of jalapeno bacon.
That's a good review.
Yeah, exactly. As far as drinking, I don't know because I haven't done that in 17 years, so cannot comment on that. But I did see Vanilla Ice there 3 years ago, which was pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
not during rally either. It was just a random weekend. It was my birthday, and Vanilla Ice was playing at the it was the Broken Spoke or the Knuckle or the Knuckle, and it was hilarious.
It is an interesting town to go to, like especially like during off season. What is the saloon that is like kind of north of town, just north of Sturgis, that has the big muffler man in front of it that kind of had a fire, I think?
Yeah. I feel like we can just make up a name and it would be fine. Like the Busted Knuckle Spoke Horse.
That's probably it.
I know which one you're talking about. It's across the street from the, or it's next to the gas station, isn't it?
Oh, Full Throttle.
There you go.
Yeah. So I was riding north out of Sturgis on a random weekday in September last year, and it was like 8 a.m. and I stopped there because I'm obsessed with muffler men. So I have to take photos with everyone I see. And I just assumed it was 8 a.m. on like a Tuesday in September that they would be closed, but they were open. Like the full bar was just open. There was a bartender there. No one was there, obviously, because it was 8 a.m. But she gave me a full tour of the place, and it looks, again, completely different when it's not packed with a bunch of drunk bikers. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a neat town. Like it is, they get some, you know, they get all four seasons there, and you know, it's, I'll be like, one of the days that I was, you know, riding through New Zealand, as you know, I was just down there last month or the month before too. I'm like, man, this looks like South Dakota, part of the, you know, northern part of the South Island. And it was kind of neat when you like, you ride around enough, you start, you know, making those connections where, you know, New Zealand looks like South Dakota and Norway looks like Wisconsin sometimes.
Well, it's funny with New Zealand because I kept thinking, riding around the South Island last year, I also kept thinking, like, this looks like Utah, this looks like Norway, and I just kept shifting. And for a small island, a small country, there's so much amazing, like, shifting scenery there. But yeah, there are definitely parts that look like you're in the Black Hills, you're in Sturgis.
No, I thought that was neat.
Yeah. I think that's all I had really to talk to you about. Is there anything you want to add or plug or anything?
Not really. I think we hit them all. The only thing, maybe, did we say anything about Spearfish Canyon, about riding it? Because that one's also really good.
Yeah, I think we just talked about the goat situation, the inbred goats. But
yeah, besides the inbred goats, there's a good Spearfish. If you leave Spearfish and south in the canyon, you can do that loop up to Lead and Deadwood and then back into Sturgis, I think.
I think that's one of the most scenic roads probably in the area. So yeah, definitely worth a visit too. If people want to follow your trip or see what you're up to, where can they find you?
I only use Instagram, and I am at MotoGluten on Instagram. So yeah, you can see my travel histories and the ones coming up, because I'll try to document them as best I can.
And all the millions of bikes that you've owned or currently own.
Right. Yeah, I was on a different podcast last week, and we went over kind of my motorcycle history for a little bit. It was kind of funny because it's like I forget that I even had this. The guy was like, oh, remember that banana boat bike? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had that. And then just go back, you know, even the last 10 years, there's a bunch of stuff I forgot I even had, which could be good or bad. But
again, good problem to have, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I could be out doing all sorts of weird stuff, but I prefer to spend all my money on motorcycles and recycle things.
Yes, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, cool beans. Thank you for having me.
That's our episode for today. Thanks to Davin for joining me, and as always, thank you so much for listening. Just a few quick things before we go. If you go to our website, thescenicride.com, you'll find all episodes with show notes, and you can also sign up for our newsletter. And finally, if you are someone who feels passionately about The Tale of the Dragon and want to be a guest on a future episode, feel free to shoot me an email at thescenicride@gmail.com or reach out on Instagram at thescenicride. That's it. I'll see you guys next time. In the meantime, enjoy the ride. The Scenic Ride is written and produced by me, Sana Bowman. Our theme music is by Ryan Sin. If you like the show, please rate and review it and tell your friends to listen. For all the latest updates, follow at The Scenic Ride on Instagram and Facebook or visit thescenicride.com.